Also, a lot of people are looking out for all kinds of political paraphernalia in this very record-breaking primary process. It's been all kinds of records. I should say all kinds of records have been breaking. Turnout records, the how long it's taking, and enormous amounts of money that the candidates have
raised. But the record you're focused on is what?
The paraphernalia.
Number of bumper stickers and buttons.
Mark Evans, an official with the American Political Items Collectors Organization, and there is such a thing. Mark, this is a big year for you. What's made it all so very intriguing?
Hi. Well, one of the differences this year has been that there are no incumbents in the race. We have two wide open nominations on both sides of the field. So, as you know, there were at least 18 major presidential candidates competing, each one generating bumper stickers, signs, buttons, and the memorabilia promoting their candidacies.
Mark, how much are those Duncan Hunter t-shirts going for, babe?
Oh, I think they probably totally disappeared from the marketplace.
Would you say disappeared? But I know what hasn't disappeared. That is paraphernalia for Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton. I just want to share something with you. This morning I did a quick search on eBay, and there was very interesting how close this was. But Barack Obama, there was 27, 29 entries for him, so 2,729. And for Hillary Clinton, she was leading, 2,784. So she got him by about 50 items or so. What's the most unusual tchotchke you've seen this year?
Well, the most unusual thing that was given away was during the Iowa caucuses, the Clinton campaign gave away these blue plastic megaphones that contained popcorn. And it was similar to what you might buy years ago in Yankee Stadium. After you ate your popcorn, you'd take the cap off the small end, and you could use the container for a megaphone. And it said something like, boosting Hillary. There was some slogan on the side of it.
So are the campaigns getting creative as to what they're offering?
No, the campaigns are usually pretty dull and boring. it's the private vendors that get creative, that sell to the general public at rallies and events and parades.
You've created a whole new way of evaluating the candidates. I mean, we've been talking this entire election about electability, but you're talking about collectability.
That's right.
Who's the most collectible candidate in your view, Mark? You're the expert.
You mean for this campaign?
Yeah, for 2008.
Well, probably Obama and Hillary are at the top, with McCain coming up third, I would think.
What about Ron Paul? Kind of bizarre, kind of obscure, but still has a big following?
Yes, he still has a big following. And in my travels, I see more Ron Paul signs out in the environment than any other candidate.
And you make a really interesting point, which is because it's gone on for so long, it's like encouraged all kinds of creativity by the vendors, as you've said, over a longer period of time, which is why we're ending up with far more different kinds of trinkets than we have ever had.
Mm-hmm.
Is there a way to collect a complete set of every piece of junk generated by the 2008 campaign?
Well, first of all, it's not junk. This is
a part of America's precious legacy. Yes. Precious American legacy.
No, there really is no way to get it all, and that's what makes it such a wonderful hobby, because anyone can make something, any committee, any group, any vendor. And I collect material going all the way back to the 19th century, and I regularly see presidential memorabilia that I've never seen before. And you don't have this thing happening in other hobbies like stamps and coins, right, where everything is cataloged and known.
Well, Mark Evans, we're going to be looking out with a bit of a closer eye on the collectibles as we move forward with this primary process that is not over yet. So Mark Evans, veteran collector and member services director of the national organization, American Political Items Collectors, we thank you.
You're welcome.
2008's a banner year. And online, Clay, is probably a great place to monitor where all this stuff is going and its value.
Yeah, and eBay, in fact, may turn out to be an upside-down indicator. It may be that more things are listed on eBay after people are getting rid of their campaign stuff.
Oh, that's
so
interesting.
Maybe like a golf score, higher is worse. We don't know.
Right.
So that is interesting. So people are dumping Edwards' stuff a week later?
There will be people using eBay as an outlet for first sales, and then there will be people reselling stuff that they had and are now getting rid of. And so unpacking that is going to be, you know, it's a complicated metric.
How much of your life is online, Clay, before we
go? Less now than it used to be. It's funny. I was in the 90s. I was absolutely addicted, and I use the word advisedly.
In the 90s, Clay, that's like a long time ago.
That was last century.
Last 8 years, you haven't been online.
No, not as much. I got married and then had kids, and so more of my life moved offline, as it would with little kids. But there was a while where most waking hours were at or near the computer.
So what about you, John?
In a moment. Our question for all of you is, my day is not complete until I do blank online.
Hi there. This is Harriet Brackey in Fort Lauderdale. My day is not complete until I have gone to newseum.org and checked out a few front pages from newspapers around the country. Bye.
I do that too.
My day is not complete until I've turned off the computers that my kids are looking at online.
Huh. I check the weather. I look for addresses. I don't know what I would do without a computer now.
I email
my friends. They email me. Clay? We're all just a one person.
I don't have a sense of online
museum
offline
of,
anymore.
Of information.
Yeah. The friend museum.
Keep your stuff coming to thetakeaway.org or 877-8MyTake.